My topic today is Becoming as Little Children. Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine illumination for this message in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, my friends, the revelations of God come only to the childlike heart. That's my thought for today. Jesus said in Matthew, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, for over 1,000 years, most churchgoers did not know whether they were saved or lost. But when Martin Luther had his personal experience with God in Wittenberg, Germany, that all changed. The 16th century Reformation, even though it had tremendous political and ecclesiastical implications, brought as its greatest gift to man the knowledge of how he could know that he was saved. From Luther on, through the Anabaptists particularly, the doctrine of the rebirth or conversion became the centerpiece of evangelical practical theology. Now, in retrospect, it is almost inconceivable to the evangelical mind today that the doctrine of conversion so clearly stated and Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus could have been lost for so long. Yet, the same can be said of the doctrine of our need to become as little children. Over 400 years have passed since Luther's discovery of the first wing of salvation theology, and it is only now that perhaps we come to the other wing, beginning here with a conjunction and become as little children. Except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. That is, the first wing of the kingdom is conversion. The second is becoming as a little child. To enter the kingdom of heaven, or to fly into it, so to speak, requires two wings, again connected by the conjunction and. As a bird with only one wing can only move in circles without ever being airborne, even by the most ardent thrashing of that one wing, so the evangelical church has been unable to get airborne and pursue a straight course. She has produced millions of her own kind, one-winged birds, threshing about aimlessly, going nowhere. She has produced millions of converts, but most of these millions have never come into the kingdom of heaven because they have not become as little children. We must both be converted and become as little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. The first step, conversion, is a momentary event, a crisis of the soul. The second part is a process by which we live the life we were born for. We're not just born to be born again. We were born and then born again to walk with God. We were born not just for a crisis, but for the process of becoming sons of God. For it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." Now, the power to become has been unused by most born-again Christians. It has been left latent, abandoned, and ignored. It is for this reason that most of those born have died. They have wilted or withered and dropped over for the lack of becoming. They have been like seed cast on stony ground, born but not nourished to live on in the becoming. They have then taken on a form of godliness, a semblance of the real. They become as plastic plants, lacking fragrance, power for growth, fruit, and reproduction. It is because of this that the conjunction end of this sentence is so important. This becoming like little children prevents the decay, the early death of that new life having just come forth. It is for this reason that this second wing of evangelical truth is just as important as the first one. The second wing of becoming is just as necessary as the first wing of being converted. The absence of either will spell death. To say that the second wing of this truth is not essential to salvation is to say that a mustard seed does not have to be watered once placed in the ground, or that a baby does not need to be fed once born. Birth will always lead to death if steps for becoming are not taken immediately. Oh, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, my friends, to become like a little child means first and foremost to come to utter dependence on God. That new life, just having been born, is now utterly and entirely dependent upon God. As it was born of God, and not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, so it can only live of God. The old life, the old will, the old choices will bring it back to the earth. The new life can only live by God, by God's choices, by God's nourishment, by God's light, by God's power. The old self-life will destroy the new life of God if it is allowed to have its way. The old self-life must be immediately and consistently crucified that the becoming can take place and progress. Therefore, the power to become sons of God is the power given to become as little children, to come to utter dependence upon God. The power to become as little children is a call to a reversal. It's no longer I, but Christ. No longer my will, but His will. No longer my understanding, but His that matters. It is this childlike spirit of utter dependence that God has worked through in all the ages, and that He'll continue to work through in the days ahead. Abraham, after his bad experience in Egypt, had finally come to childlikeness. When it was time for him and Lot to separate, Abram knew that his understanding was not to be leaned upon ever again, no matter how simple the choices may be. So, who would choose rocks over green pastures to support cattle? Can't we make obvious, clear choices with our understanding? Hasn't God given us our brains by which we are to think and analyze and deduct? No, Abraham had lost all confidence in his own understanding and the things of God. He knew what he did not know was like an ocean, and that which he did know was like a drop of water in comparison. He knew there was much more to the unseen than to the seen. He refused to make a choice on the basis of his natural senses and intellect. He said, "Lot, you choose by those means, but I won't." And refusing to choose, Abraham left the choice to divine providence. He could have chosen to settle in the green pastures or on the rocky hills, but he said to Lot, basically, "You choose the ground, and I choose God." So Lot had no question about his choice. He used his senses, his brain, to settle a seemingly uncomplicated matter. Cattle thrive better on green grass, well-watered pastures, than in rocky high territory. Lot took the plains of Jordan. But history, my friend, tells us that Lot chose for the moment, while Abraham chose for eternity. Lot unknowingly chose Sodom, and Abraham chose Jerusalem. Lot chose destruction and shame, but Abraham chose the incarnation, Calvary, the resurrection, Pentecost, and the church age. Abraham chose that which made his seed as the sand by the sea, as the stars in the heavens. Oh, my friend, let God make your choices. Obvious choices are not obviously right. My friend, if there has ever been a call to distrust our senses and intellect, it is from this message. It may be clear-cut that you should marry that beautiful Rachel, but can you see what's behind that decision? Rachel was a woman who kept the idols of her father hidden in her heart, a woman who was never happy, causing frequent irritation. But Leah gave Jacob their son Judah, and Jacob prophesied that the scepter would never depart from Judah's house. Rachel was buried on the roadside, Leah with Jacob, and the line of the tribe of Judah is still with us. What do you know, my friend? The highest pinnacle that our intellect could ever reach is to know its unfitness in leading the new man in Christ Jesus that's living within us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. This requires childlikeness, dear ones. Childlikeness means plugging into the perfect mind of God. Paul said, for it is written, I will baffle and render useless and destroy the learning of the learned and the philosophy of the philosophers and the cleverness of the clever and the discernment of the discerning. I will frustrate and nullify them and bring them to nothing. 1 Corinthians 1:19. Yes, indeed. What looks green and well-watered may have shame and destruction hidden behind it, and what looks beautiful and attractive may have the seeds of worldliness hidden within it. Do not lean unto your own understanding, because as a little child, become as a little child and trust God, and the kingdom of heaven will be yours. Moses, for example, was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt in biology, philosophy, political science, mathematics, geometry, history, geography. Yet how much of that did God need to make him a deliverer? It took 40 years of wilderness living until Moses knew what Socrates knew hundreds of years later, that he was nothing. So God met Moses at the burning bush and said, get my people out of Egypt. And Moses asked, how can it be done? 40 years earlier, he would have been able to have come up with a plan, but now he knew that he knew nothing. God said to Moses, cast your rod on the ground, and Moses did, and the rod became a serpent. And God said, take it up again, and Moses did, and the serpent became a rod again. Oh, Moses, that was lesson number one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But Moses said, but how am I going to get Israel out of Egypt, Lord? Neither by your learning, Moses, nor by your understanding. In fact, I don't need your understanding. It will happen by you simply doing what I tell you to do and believing that it will work. Then God gave Moses lesson number two. Put now thine hand into thy bosom. Moses did so. And when he took his hand out, it was leprous as snow. And you know the rest of the story, if you know the Bible. Had Moses leaned on his own understanding, he would never have taken a nation of 1.5 million people into the wilderness of Sinai. His understanding would have told him that it was impossible to do it without killing everyone. It is childlikeness only that allowed Moses to crucify his understanding, obey, and trust God. Therefore, deliverance came about. God did not need an intellect to deliver Israel out of Egypt. He needed a little child. God's work is always through trust and obey. The kingdom of God operates not by reason, but by revelation. Revelation from an all-knowing mind of God to the waiting, trusting, obedient, and childlike heart. Reason is the enemy of the cross. It crucified Jesus. It will crucify most every plan of God. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Talking about the absolute necessity of every man and woman beginning to walk in childlikeness right after conversion, or Christ's plan and Christ himself will be crucified by us. This is more serious, dear ones, than I can tell you. So, loved ones, it takes two wings for a bird to fly. It takes two wings for a man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Number one, conversion, and number two, becoming as a little child. And the Holy Spirit has given you, my friend, the power to become. Use it and learn to walk with God. Again, can you see that we need another great reformation? Luther gave us a reformation about the first wing of the kingdom, conversion. Who will give us a reformation on the second essential wing of the kingdom of heaven, becoming as a little child? Verily, verily, I say unto you, said Jesus, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Father, we thank thee for the moments we had together today on the radio concerning this vital message. Help us to go on to the deeper things of God and become disciples of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Pastor Schulze. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week at the same time. Goodbye now. Until then.